First of all, a positive update. Yesterday, we reported that Chapel Hill police were searching for a missing teen, 15-year-old Sanaya Farmer. Yesterday afternoon, police reported that Sanaya had returned back home safely. Now to Pittsburgh, where town officials announced yesterday that town hall will be closed to the public for the rest of this week due to staffing shortages and health concerns related to COVID-19, direct quote. That includes the Pittsburgh Police Department office as well as in-person water bill payment. Head to our website, chapelboro.com, for details on how to contact town hall staff or pay water bills online. Officials in Pittsburgh say they're hoping to reopen town hall on Monday. Back in Chapel Hill, the town council is considering plans for development at 828 MLK Boulevard, a contentious discussion in part because there's coal ash on the site. Now town officials are looking to a federal program that could address that issue, as 97.9 The Hill's Madison Ward reports.
In the 1950s and 60s, soil was excavated for off-site use on the property, but coal ash was left behind after the operation. In a more recent assessment of the work, coal ash was still identified, although EPA officials noted it's not possible to quantify the exact amount of ash on the site. The town of Chapel Hill is currently considering implementation of the Brownfields Program, a voluntary national program with the mission of facilitating the safe reuse of contaminated properties. Brownfield sites experience environmental contamination, which hinders development and causes negative economic and societal consequences. The Chapel Hill Town Council passed an early development plan at an April meeting, a step in the process to get the site accepted into the Brownfields program and remediated from the coal ash. In May, the Department of Environmental Quality, which manages the Brownfields program, held a public hearing about the site for town residents. Sharon Eckerd, a project manager of the Brownfields program, said the program protects public health by either removing contaminants or breaking the pathways for exposure at a location. She said, even after a property is improved, the program can limit what type of development is allowed to happen on the land.
The Brownfields program, the statute allows for the use of land use restrictions in lieu of remediating a site to unrestricted use standards. That's very explicit in the statute.
The project is in the assessment phase of the Brownfields process. Details of the redevelopment and final remedial measures have not yet been determined, and a site-specific Brownfields agreement has not been drafted. Agreements with the program offer property tax incentives for qualifying improvements. Eckerd said the program also provides public benefits.
In terms of jobs, we've put medical facilities in place. We've addressed food deserts with grocery stores. We've also done affordable and workforce housing on certain brownfield sites, and we're very proud of that.
Despite no finalization of the Brownfields program on the 828 MLK site, some residents are concerned the town will eventually develop the property. Some of those community members shared their worries during a June meeting titled, At What Cost? Chapel Hill's plan to house residents on coal ash dump. Nick Torrey, a senior attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center, said his organization conducted a risk analysis at the Chapel Hill site. It concluded that standards are currently unacceptable for residents since the dirt cover failed to prevent exposure to the ash.
Any plan that leaves ash in place, among other substantive protections, it definitely needs to have also continued sampling and monitoring of the creek and the groundwater and the soil to catch problems if they do get worse, because that can happen over time.
Adam Searing, a public interest lawyer and health researcher who currently serves as a member of the Chapel Hill Town Council, was the only council member who voted against the plan to develop on the 828 MLK property.
I fully support building some sort of housing on this site as long as we completely remove the coal ash and other toxic waste that's there. I think, you know, eventually we can do something like that, but not now.
There was little to no discussion of the Brownfields program at the community-run meeting in June. Discussions between the Department of Environmental Quality and the town of Chapel Hill are set to continue into the fall, with the Chapel Hill Town Council returning in September. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Madison Ward.
Over to Raleigh now, where education leaders are pushing back against a proposal that would overhaul the way teachers get paid. The North Carolina Association of Educators held a press conference yesterday to speak out against the plan, which would tie teacher salaries in part to performance. Supporters of the plan include State Superintendent Catherine Truitt and State Board of Education Chair Eric Davis. They say it'll help address the state's teacher shortage. Opponents say the state doesn't need a new salary model to address the teacher shortage. They just need to pay teachers more under the model they have right now. Also in Raleigh, State Attorney General Josh Stein is in the courts for two reasons this week. First on abortion, where Stein's office has filed a brief asking a federal judge not to overturn an earlier ruling striking down a state law that would ban abortion after 20 weeks. Meanwhile, in a different courtroom, another federal judge has declined to issue an injunction against a 90-year-old law that Stein's 2020 election opponent is trying to use to pursue a criminal complaint against one of his campaign ads. The law makes it illegal to circulate false reports about candidates to damage their election chances. Stein says the ad in question was not false to begin with, but he's also argued that the law is unconstitutional. Meanwhile, some positive financial news this year from a report showing a sharp decline in North Carolina's outstanding debt. And a report from North Carolina's Debt Affordability Advisory Committee shows a drop in the state's outstanding debt from $6.2 billion in 2013 down to about $4 billion in the last fiscal year, with a projected further drop down to $2 billion by 2026 if no new debts are issued. State Treasurer Dale Folwell heads the committee. He stopped by 97.9 The Hill Studios this week.
We are going to be reducing state debt by 60%. Your listeners, no matter how old they are, have never heard that from any level of government, that the state debt is going to be going down 60%. And I say that over an eight-year period. Five of those years are already in the rearview mirror, and 3 years are already in the oven as far as pre-refunding that debt. And it's very important because we're paying for things as we go. And secondly, in these higher interest rates, we're not having to borrow money and pay more interest, because every dollar in interest that we pay is a dollar that can never be spent on public education, public safety, public works, and public roads.
That's State Treasurer Dale Folwell speaking there. Finally, we head to Chatham County, which is already experiencing significant population growth, enough that a new high school, Seaforth, just opened in Pittsburgh last fall. But with Chatham Park just beginning to come in and plans in the works for a big new VinFast vehicle plant in Moncur, there's likely to be a lot more growth in the near future, and that will create a new need for more schools. Two new elementary schools by 2030, to be exact, according to a recent presentation to the school board. Nancy Weichel of Chatham County Schools recently discussed that issue with 97.9 The Hill's Andrew Stuckey.
Just like the rest of the county, we're looking at numbers going up significantly in the coming years. We know things are about to change with VinFast coming in and bringing lots and lots of jobs and lots of people working there who will have children and Chatham County Schools. So, you know, I think one of the things that's going to be interesting is to see how quickly the growth takes place. I think it will be fast. That's just my personal opinion. But we are carefully tracking the numbers, making sure that we know what we're going to have to do to ensure we have enough school buildings to serve all the students we're going to have.
So is there any idea where it would make the most sense for these elementary schools to be?
Yeah, so I think, you know, Moncur is going to see, we know, a very big change. If the projections are correct, and I think I have this right, Andrew, but if nothing changed, if we didn't make additions to the building there, it would be the second largest school in the district in 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's exciting times.
That's Nancy Weichel there. You can listen back to the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. 6:20 your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Rosewood Wealth Management. Big individual honors for a pair of Tar Heel athletes. First in women's basketball, where junior Alyssa Usby has been named to the U.S. National Under-23 3-on-3 team. She'll join Team USA for a training camp this weekend ahead of the Nations League tournament in the Dominican Republic later this month. And in women's soccer, Tar Heel senior Macy Bell has been named one of 35 players to watch for the upcoming season by the United Soccer Coaches. She's one of four ACC players on the list, along with Delaney Graham of Duke. Big development off the field yesterday, too, as UNC named Graham Boone as the new executive director of Heels for Life, the new organization that facilitates name, image, and likeness opportunities for Tar Heel football players. Boone is a Carolina alum and a longtime agent in the NBA. And in baseball, a win last night for the Durham Bulls in the first game of their home series against Jacksonville. Bulls broke a tie with four runs in the eighth inning and beat the Jumbo Shrimp 8-4. Game two of that series is tonight at 6:35. And get more sports coverage from our website, chapelboro.com, including the latest notes from the field column from UNC field hockey star Erin Mattson. You can get the full archive of her columns on Chapelboro as well.